So hello everyone. So Carol kind of stole my introduction here, but so I'm Andrei. I work as a full stack developer at Grafana Labs, and I work mainly on integrating logging and tracing into Grafana. So the outline of this talk. So first, I will talk a little bit about Grafana, just in case somebody doesn't know what Grafana is. Then I will be talking a little bit about correlating data in Grafana. We'll talk a little bit about how to set everything up to make this happen in Grafana, and also do a quick demo of how it looks like in Grafana and how you can use it. Then I will talk a little bit about what's still missing and what we are working on in Grafana to make this better. So first, short intro to Grafana. So Grafana started with goal to make it possible for users to create beautiful and useful dashboards. And I think it pretty succeeded in that regard. But we have bigger ambitions than just beautiful dashboards in Grafana. So we want to make Grafana into a full observability platform. So for us, that doesn't mean only that we want to be able to show user their metrics, logs, and traces, but also we want to allow user to be able to correlate between them and be able to use all three of those pillars to be able to quickly solve their issues. So Grafana is open source and also open as a platform. What that means is that you can use whatever data source with Grafana you want, or you can use a combination of any data sources. And it also means that any data source plugin can implement our APIs and be able to participate in the observability picture and provide the same features as I will be showing here and talking about. So let's talk about a specific example of how you can correlate metrics and logs. So imagine you have a service and you see a spike of your error metric, of your error responses, and you want to quickly go to your logs to figure out like what's happening and why it's erroring out. So usually this can be time consuming, especially if your logs are living in some other system than your metrics. So first, let's talk about what we need to be able to do this in Grafana easily. So I will be talking here about Prometheus and Loki specifically, and that's because those are the first data source plugins that implement the correct APIs for this. So first, we need instrumentation for both Prometheus and Loki in our application. And then we have to make sure that both those systems have the same labels. So both use labels to take their data and use that for indexing the data and querying the data. And we use this so that we can get the labels from Prometheus query and create a Loki query with the same labels. Basically, that's how this integration works. And then we also need the configuration of the data sources in Grafana, which is the most easy part from this. So first, this kind of like a Go snippet of how you would instrument your app in Prometheus. So Prometheus works in a way that you need to expose your metrics in like one endpoint, and then Prometheus scrapes that endpoint and gets the metrics from there in periodic intervals. So usually there are a lot of like client libraries or exporters that will do this for you. So in this case, we do this manually in the code, and this is exporting a histogram of your request duration. So regarding the label configuration, you have to configure labels on the server side of Prometheus per the scraping target. In Grafana, we use Kubernetes a lot, and Prometheus has a very nice integration with Kubernetes, where it can auto-discover all your services and labels from the Kubernetes API. So it's easy to create labels. One thing to note here is that it will give you labels which are prefixed with double underscore, and Prometheus by default drops those. So you still have to do relabeling configuration when you use those auto-discovered labels to create your actual labels in Prometheus. So usually you wouldn't want to do this manually. So ideally you would use something like a Helm chart or Tanka, which we use in Grafana to configure this. So if you don't want to use Kubernetes or the auto-discovery feature, you would just manually have to set the labels per target, as you can see here in this small config. So for Loki, you don't need any special logging client library for Loki. You can probably use whatever you are already using. So this, for example, a snippet of GoKit log, which we use in most Grafana applications. But this doesn't get your logs to Loki right away. So for that, you would use something like a FluentD or FluentBit or a Docker logging driver, or you would use for this Promptail agent. So in here, we will be talking about the Promptail agent mainly. And that's basically something that runs next to your application. And it works in a way that it scrapes your log files and then send the logs to Loki. So one nice thing about the Promptail agent is that it uses the same auto-discovery feature and mechanism as Promptail. So, as Prometheus. So again, it will give you the same labels, though again prefixed by a double underscore. So you will have to do again some relabeling to get the final labels, and you have to make sure that they match the Prometheus ones. Also one thing to note that with this auto-discovery feature, you need to create a special label which is like double underscore path double underscore, which is where you will define the path to actually the log files that it will be scraping. So again, usually you would want something like a Helm chart or Tanka to configure this and to make sure that the configs create both labels on both sides. So what this gives us is the same labels, and then we can use this to, as seen on the top, there is a Prometheus query, and we can just take the labels from there and create our Loki query that will give us data that correlates to that metric. So with these two, it's easy because they have like similar query language and labeling system, but any data source plugin can implement API that will give it the query from previous data source, and it can take any data it needs to create its own query, and in that way work, as I will show in a second. So let's do a quick demo here. So I will be using this demo application. It's basically a Hacker News clone, which doesn't matter much here, but it's designed in a way to be kind of real life-like, so to speak, and it uses like separate service for like load balancing and application database. So let's take a look first on the data source configuration. So here we have both data sources already configured, and there's nothing special here, basically just URL to the data source. And as I said, I mean, this will be for later. But anyway, so right now, I mean, there is nothing special here. And so we can take a look at the dashboard for this demo application. And as I said, I mean, the demo application is designed in a way to be kind of real life-like. So here we see different services and their responses, and we see there are some errors here. And thanks to this being organized by, you know, each service and basically by layers, we see that the errors originated in our database service. So what we can do here is go to Explore view, which is a separate view from the dashboard, which is suitable for ad hoc querying and kind of like exploring your data. And here we can do split view. Query won't be seen very nicely, but anyway. So here we see a side-by-side view of the same thing, but we can go to Loki. And here we see that it imported the labels here, and we already see the logs which are correlated with the metric. So we can see here there's some warning, but let's do a filter for our errors. And here we can see the errors on the right side, and we can see that there is a problem with too many open connections. And this hopefully will help you get to the logs quickly and figure out like what's wrong and fixing it. Okay, so back to presentation. Yeah, so let's talk a bit about how we can add traces to this story. So again, what we need here. So first, this integration is a little bit more simpler and more generic. So we can use basically any trace backend we want. But we will be talking mainly about Jaeger in this case for the examples. So we need instrumentation for your traces. Then we need to make sure that the trace IDs are locked in your logs. And then we need some configuration in Loki data source so it knows about the trace IDs. So for the instrumentation, so here you see a snippet that creates a Jaeger tracer and then uses open tracing APIs to set the tracer as a global tracer for your application. Because as mentioned, Jaeger tracer is compatible with the open tracing. So then you can do like either manual like this, create a span for some operation. But ideally, you would want your web framework to handle that for you. So especially like creating the trace on request and then propagating the trace across service boundaries. So to log your trace ID, I mean, here's the code how you do that. So basically, you have to get the trace ID somehow and log it in the log. So this is a little bit more complex than you'd probably expect. Mainly because the Open Tracing API doesn't actually know about a trace ID. For them, it's kind of like internal implementation of the tracer. So I think they are planning to change that because I think every tracer actually uses trace ID. But here we have to get the open tracing context and then cast it into a Jaeger-specific context and then the trace ID from there. But again, ideally, you would want your web framework to kind of like just log the trace ID as part of the request response logging. So again, a quick demo for this. So let's see what we need on the side of the Loki. So how we integrate this, so first, Loki doesn't know much about the messages. So for it, the message is just a string without any structure. And so we have to tell it like how to find out there is a trace ID and what to do with it. So we do this here, so I just for sure have this here so I don't make any mistake. So basically, we need a name for our new field and regex pattern to match it and extract the value via regex regex capture group. And then we can use this value to create a URL link, right? So this will be linking to a Jaeger UI with the value of the trace ID. So let's save this. And so again, let's go to the the demo application dashboard. And we see here that the latency is spiking here, and we already know that it's probably because of the database error, but let's pretend we don't, and we want to figure out like what's going on here. So again, we can go to the Explore. It got the same queries as were in the dashboard in the panel. So here we see the 99 percentile. And let's again split this, go to Loki again. And now I will do a little bit, little awkward regex here. Just bear with me for a minute. Just find out some traces that took longer than a millisecond. And let's take a look at this one. Okay, this is not formatted very well on this small screen. But anyway, what you see is like a detail of the log message. And we have the labels from Loki, which I mentioned. And then we do some basic parsing on the message if we can. And here we have our defined trace ID. And here we have a small link. On bigger screen, it definitely looks better. So we can go to this link, and it will link us to the Jaeger UI. And you can right away see the trace and hopefully find out where your application spends time and fix it and make sure it doesn't happen again. So you may ask, like, why do we have to go through from metrics to the logs and do this awkward querying and then go to trace? So that brings us to the next part of the presentation. So what is still missing and what we are working on? So ideally, you would want to go directly from your graph to the trace, right? You already have the latency there, or you have this kind of like a histogram, and you don't have to go to logs, especially if you don't have a way to easily filter the longest traces there. So for this, we need support from the backends, from the data source themselves. So Prometheus team is actually working on this. It's called Exemplars, and it's basically a trace ID that would be associated with some bucket in a histogram, for example. So you'd have your 99 percentile bucket, and you'd just already have some trace ID there that we could use in Grafana and link you directly from the graph to the correct trace, make it easier to get there. So Prometheus team is working on this, and as soon as they have it, we will implement it in Grafana. So another thing that is pretty cool is to be able to go then from the trace, for example, to all the logs for the trace. For this, we are at the moment implementing and integrating a trace viewer into Grafana, and that will allow us to add this kind of transitions. So in general, we want to make this kind of connectivity between data sources as easy as possible. And we are working on introducing something we call experiences, which is a working title, so the name will probably change. But what it is, so usually your data sources are grouped in some logical way. So you have your metrics, tracing and logging data source, kind of monitoring like one application, and then you may have another group of data sources that are monitoring some other application or cluster. And right now there is no way in Grafana to express this because you just have a flat list of data sources without any connection in between. So we want to add this kind of abstraction to be able to group them and be able to provide like more connectivity between the data sources, and especially this would help us like if we add a new transition new view, then you don't have to configure it all over again. We will just know that this is a group of data sources that are connected and it should work in between them. So we hope this will drive better interfaces in Grafana and will make the correlation story in Grafana much better for the user. So that's it. I don't know if we have time for questions, but...
We have time.
Okay. Here's the first one.
Now it seems to be on. Any questions?
Hi. I saw mention of Cortex a couple of times in the presentation, as in that Grafana introduced Cortex. What is that?
I'm pretty sure that wasn't mentioning of Cortex.
No, you weren't mentioning it. It was on the slides and like mentioned a couple of places.
Oh, okay.
Slides. Yes. so this is why I was like wondering what
yeah,
is
but,
that?
Okay, well, Cortex is kind of like a drop-in replacement for Prometheus. So, I mean, it's like a scalable version and long-term solution for storage of like Prometheus data. So I'm not on the team, so there are probably other people with Grafana t-shirts that could talk about it a little bit more. But that's it. So
that's the Grafana project.
I don't know, it's called like Grafana, it's open source and many people from Grafana are working on it and we use it for our like hosted solution, but it's open source project that many people contribute to.
Any Cortex questions can be answered by Gautam here in the Grafana t-shirt later. Any other questions? There we have one. And also, just a reminder, please keep seated, don't touch the tables, the sound is terrible, thank you.
Thank you. Good presentation as well. Do you have any mock-ups of what experiences might look like or how you would interact with them?
Not at the moment, unfortunately. So we are working hard on like bringing the traces to Grafana. So that's kind of like the main focus right now. And afterwards, I mean, we hope to be able to work on that.
Any other questions? Going once, going twice. Okay, that's it. Thank you, Andrew. Okay.